Psalm 21, this is God's word. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. The king shall have joy in your strength, O Lord, and in your salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. You have given him his heart's desire, and have not withheld the request of his lips. For you meet him with the blessings of goodness. You set a crown of pure gold upon his head. He asked life from you, and you gave it to him, length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in your salvation. Honor and majesty you have placed upon him, for you have made him most blessed forever. You have made him exceedingly glad with your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. Your hand will find all your enemies. Your right hand will find those who hate you. You shall make them as a fiery oven in the time of your anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their offspring you shall destroy from the earth, and their descendants from among the sons of men, for they intended evil against you. They devised a plot which they are not able to perform. Therefore you will make them turn their back. You will make ready your arrows on your string toward their faces. Be exalted, O Lord, in your own strength. We will sing and praise your power. We're progressing through the Psalms, and like Psalm 20, this psalm is about the king and his kingdom. David wrote this psalm to express his own prayers and to invite the congregation to pray for the kingdom and for the king, King David. In history, we can see that God did just that, that the Lord God blessed his people through the king that he had established, through King David. He blessed them with deliverance from their enemies, for through victory over threats. You can see those described in the second half of this psalm. But God also blessed David directly. He blessed him with strength and salvation, answered prayers. He gave him length of days, glory, honor, majesty, all of these things that Psalm 21 speak of. Symbolically, verse 3 seems to capture it by seeing that God sets a crown of pure gold on the king's head. And David is inviting the congregation to pray for that. Not in a selfish way, but in a way that understands that as God blesses the king, that the entire kingdom is blessed. If God gives wisdom to the leaders, then the nation itself is also led with wisdom. If God blesses the king with victory, then the whole nation is delivered and knows peace. And so there's an identification of the kingdom with the king. And so praying for the king is also to pray for the kingdom. As we sing this psalm, we can remember God's mighty acts in history. We can see how God did pour out many blessings on King David and on his people through him. By extension, then, we can also pray for our own nation, for our own leaders, and for the kingdom of God represented in the church around the world. But as we sing this psalm, we are also singing about Jesus. And I want to point out two particular ways. One way is in seeing that David appears as a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ. We've already noticed this in the book of Hebrews, that God in the Old Testament gave institutions and people and ceremonies to represent the coming of Jesus Christ. And David is another example of that. He served as a king over the people of God. And in doing so, he represents or foreshadows the coming of the great King of Kings and Lord of Lords, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so when you think of David's life, and as you read this psalm, you can see some similarities between David and Jesus. One of those is that this psalm describes how God has given honor and majesty to David. And remember where he came from. David is well aware that he started as a shepherd boy. And God then raised him up. He chose David, setting a crown on his head and giving him honor and glory and majesty. Well, think of how that foreshadows Jesus Christ. Think of his humble beginnings. Think of how he was born in a very humiliating circumstance to a poor family. Think of how he suffered and how he fell under the contempt of people around him. Think of his humiliating death. But now God has exalted him. He is now seated at the right hand of the glory on high. And David foreshadows Jesus in this way. But there is a second way that we can see Jesus in this psalm, and that is because David, as a prophet, speaks directly about him. The way David describes the king and the kingdom has some fairly obvious ways that David's thinking about himself. But as you read this psalm, you might say, well, that's not David. It can't be David. It speaks of someone whose reign extends forever. You might say, oh, that's just David speaking hyperbolically. He wants that kingdom to never end. But no, can't we also go on to see that David is speaking about someone else? And that someone else is Jesus Christ, whose kingdom does never end. And in that light, when you read and sing this psalm, you can see Jesus directly. Think of God setting a crown on the head of his king in verse 3. That crown is a symbol of the kingly authority that Jesus has. That subject is one that deserves lots of attention. And this is just a brief psalm meditation to whet your appetite and encourage you to think about how Jesus is a king. And it reminds me of our catechism that says that Christ executes the office of a king in subduing us to himself, in ruling and defending us, in restraining and conquering all his and our enemies. That last phrase, especially Psalm 21, emphasizes the idea of restraining and conquering all his and our enemies. And from verse 8 on, you can see how one of the blessings that God brings through Jesus Christ is a victory over enemies. God is one who has ordained Jesus and given him authority, kingly authority, to rule and to judge. That judge might happen in this life. That victory may happen while we see it. And if it doesn't, we are assured that there is a final judgment. There are echoes of that final judgment even here. That there is a fire of God that devours his enemies. And a fire that will not be quenched. And Jesus as judge comes and vanquishes his enemies, either in this life or in his second coming, and that great judgment he brings. That kingly authority can also be shown in different ways. Look at the idea that it is God who has given Jesus this authority. It is God who sets the crown on his head. He doesn't rule by the will of the people. He rules by the authority of God himself. And it is a rule that is existing forever and ever. Verse 4 says that there is a reign that will not end. And here I hope you remember from our messages in Hebrews that we find that Jesus reigns based on his indestructible life. He was raised from the dead. He has ascended to the right hand of the Majesty on high. And he does indeed reign there forever and ever, being a king for his people. And here I'm reminded of what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, that God has set Jesus as the authority over all things for the church. So as we pray for the king and pray for the kingdom, as Jesus is exalted, then so also are we. So also are we blessed when Jesus Christ is full of honor and glory and majesty. Well, throughout this month we'll sing Psalm 21 and we will be rejoicing that the king trusts in God and that the Lord has blessed our king. Let's sing Psalm 21. We'll use the A selection first, and I'll invite you to please stand to sing.